Thanks, Nathan, and welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. It's time now for another installment in our monthly series, Living Questions, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies. My guest this morning is Rabbi Jessie Gross. She's the Senior Director of Jewish Life at the Baltimore Community Center and the founder of Charm City Tribe, a group of Jewish millennials. Rabbi Gross, it's nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations, you have been named by Forward Magazine as one of the 30-something inspiring rabbis in the United States. So that's really cool. Thank you and congratulations for that. Tell us about Charm City Tribe. This is an organization that you've put together that specifically targets young people here in Baltimore.
Yeah, so Charm City Tribe is a community effort for people in their 20s and 30s looking to tap into Jewish culture and tradition in creative and meaningful ways. It is a program housed in the Jewish Community Center and sponsored by the Associated, our local Jewish federation. And really, the initiative came out of a community study done in 2010, in which two key data findings led them to want to hire a rabbi outside of the Orthodox community to engage 20s and 30s living downtown. One is that more people are choosing to live and stay downtown in Baltimore than before, and most of the Jewish resources in town are concentrated a little bit out in the Pikesville Owings Mills corridor. But also that there's this astounding data point of folks between the ages of 18 and 34 who say that coming from Jewish tradition and being a part of the Jewish community is important to them. 55% of those surveyed that are not Orthodox, that are between the ages of 18 and 34, say being Jewish is important to them. But only 11% of those folks say that belonging to a synagogue or some sort of traditional affiliation is something that they think is important. So there's this either silent majority or sweet spot of 44% of folks who have positive associations are probably looking to connect, but not necessarily in the traditional manners. And so they put me in the trenches and put me on the ground, and we pop up in bars and coffee shops all over the town trying to engage people and see where they're at and see how we can parse out community and values and what it means for folks growing up at this stage in that generation.
And I guess this is not unique to Judaism, right? The religion in general, according to the Pew studies of religion in public life, say that, you know, fewer and fewer people are embracing the religion into which they were born, for example. I mean, this is something that a lot of religions are facing. What's your pitch to the millennials when they come to you and say, hey, I sort of have this interest, but, I'm not really religious, but I'm spiritual. When you hear somebody say that, how do you respond?
Yeah, well, for me, I think that many people, especially growing up in the Jewish tradition, although I'm sure this is true in others, have a somewhat juvenile association of what it means to be a Jew in community, because many of them went to Hebrew school one or two times a week between the ages of 8 and 13 and look back on that pinnacle experience of bar mitzvah, which in Jewish tradition is supposed to be an on-ramp and has for many people been an off-ramp. And they memorized the prayers and the part of their Torah portion they needed to, and then they were out the door and we haven't seen them since. And so for me, it's about trying to close that gap between that experience many people might have had as a child and then tap into some of those more universal connections that they might have vis-a-vis moral imperatives, values, even an association and connection to Jewish culture through the holiday cycle, and say, wow, it just actually gets good as an adult. If you limit your perception of what this is to the experience you had when your parents were dropping you off at Hebrew school a couple times a week, you haven't even scratched the surface. For me, I just try to spark them with curiosity and help them uncover. But to be clear, nobody usually comes up to me and says, hey, I'm looking for this. It's more a methodology of how we pop ourselves up in places that people tend to go to all the time and try to do what everyone, I think, is trying to do with this millennial generation, which is make a case that the tradition that feels age old and ancient is still relevant to a 27-year-old living in Baltimore City in 2016.
And the fact that you're physically meeting in person, that alone can be something of a unique phenomenon for folks who sometimes folks refer to them as the Amazon generation, where everything is done online. Your friends are on Facebook; they're not in your living room. You're actually, you know, the centrality of actually meeting each other and doing stuff together is really quite important. Right?
I actually think that's the most. That's the greatest value proposition we have to offer right now, right? We're in a values-driven market in an overarching society that's kind of driven by capitalism and the financial bottom line. So you have to figure out how to itch yourself in to the market in some way. For me, it's about being seen. We go to Facebook. We even show up at concerts. And sometimes people may not even feel like they're recognized, or if they didn't show up, that it would make a difference. And so in that case, I think that's the most important thing that we do. Our entire approach uses a community organizing model. And if you know, community organizing is about grassroots organizing for the sake of systemic change. Usually we see it play out in our political system, but I'm trained as a community organizer. I leverage community organizing in that relationships are essential. And thinking about what it means to meet people where they're at and then have some sense of strategy or idea for what it means to create momentum as a collective is at the essence of everything I try to do. Also, I used to joke for the first couple of years that I think the Jewish community hired me not just because of my knowledge of Torah, but I had a hip factor. And so often I say my previous kind of starting point for Charm City Tribe was I'm a little bit Torah teacher, a little bit event planner, and a little bit community organizer. And sometimes I think it's my success in the party planning to turn people out that gives people the opportunity to see what we can do once they're there.
Where does God fit into all of this? I mean, usually the on-ramp to religion is through prayer and through, you know, contemplation of the divine.
Totally. Well, God can be a really dirty word, which is interesting for a rabbi to say. I mean, I love that in Jewish tradition, a relationship between a person and the divine has always been an incredibly personal and individual thing, and yet at the same time inherently connected to the way that we leverage our relationships in community to make an impact in our society. So if someone wants to talk about God, I'd love to talk about God, and I have my own kind of touch points for what it is that I believe in. But I love that Judaism invites us to keep our relationship to God somewhat personal, but that the imperative to engage with each other in our society is a communal thing. And so I think that riffing off of that spiritual but not religious component can be the most important thing we do, because God may be somewhere along the way, but mostly I like to start with talking to people about where they come from, who they are, and what they're looking for. And I think the order matters.
Well, Rabbi Jesse Gross, it is great to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in, and congratulations on the acclamation from Forward Magazine.
Thanks so much.
Rabbi Jesse Gross is the Senior Director of Jewish Life, excuse me, at the Baltimore Jewish Community Center. She's the founder of Charm City Tribe, and she was recently named by a leading Jewish magazine, The Forward, as one of America's 32 inspiring rabbis. This has been another installment of Living Questions, our monthly series in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in conjunction with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies. You can hear this and all of the conversations in our Living Questions series. Plus, you can find a link to more information about the Charm City Tribe on our website, wypr.org/livingquestions. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. That's it for us today. Coming up Wednesday, an update from the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. And Nathan Sterner will talk to John Racanelli of the National Aquarium about changes for the dolphins there. And our resident foodie, Sasha Wohlhandler, will talk about some salads with an international flair. Hope you can join us Wednesday morning from Maryland Morning. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.